Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here this morning. Good to see everyone. If you are visiting with us today, we are glad to have you with us. If you are listening to us today by way of radio, if you've just joined us this morning into the worship service of Hightower Baptist Church, wherever you're listening from in these Northeast Georgia mountains, we are so glad to have you with us today. And literally, anyone could be listening to us all over the world if you're listening via internet. So we're glad to have you that are listening with us today. And we hope and pray that you would just feel a part of this service. And my prayer is always that it would just feel like you were right here with us when you worship with us. And we want you to be praying for us. We pray for you. And let's just come together today to worship the Lord. I appreciate the congregation songs, Ronnie. Those were great this morning. And the congregation, you sung out. And then the choir, you always do a fantastic job. And I appreciate you. And then our ladies that play for us. And these ladies are going to play for us at this time now. And I'm going to ask all of you, if you would please stand, take a moment of time, shake hands with someone seated there around you, if you would please. Okay, thank you. Again, thank you, ladies, for playing for us. Again, good to be in the Lord's house this morning. God has blessed us with some beautiful days. It's gotten a little cool outside, though, compared to what we have been having, but we're thankful to see cool weather and thankful to see autumn in the air and enjoy this little bit cooler weather. Of course, we're human. And it won't be long till some of us will be saying, gosh, I'll be glad when summer gets here, right? You know, you'll get tired of this real cold weather, and that's what we'll be saying before long, but we're enjoying it right now. I would like to take just a moment of time and say thank you very much to the ladies of our church. The WMU hosted a luncheon yesterday for our older, you know, you get in trouble no matter how you say that. And everybody talks about when are you a senior? You know, I've yet to ask for that senior discount. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And some places, you know, I think you can get it when you're 55. And I just can't bring myself to do it. I've yet to ask for that senior coffee. I may someday, but not yet. But anyway, the ladies hosted a luncheon, and I really believe that our seniors really had a good time and really enjoyed it. And so I thank all of you that participated. Whatever you done to make that a very special occasion for our people, we want to thank you. And we had a lot of folks visiting with us, and we were so glad to have all of them with us also. So, ladies, I thank you and commend you for your hard work and organizing that and putting everything together. Thank you so much for doing that. And we do love our seniors here at our church. Now, if you have your Bibles today and you want to read along, you can turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, that's going to be on one of the last major prophets. It's right before you start to get to those minor prophets like Hosea and Joel and Amos and all those guys. If you get to those, just turn back a little bit and you'll find the book of Daniel. We're going to look at the third chapter of the book of Daniel, but we're also going to look at a few things that John records in John's gospel, and then we're going to also look at a couple of things that the Apostle Paul says to a young man by the name of Timothy over in 2 Timothy in chapter number 1 of 2 Timothy. I'll tell you as we go to those, I'm not going to read all of this because, well, it would just take a lot of time. You read it when you get home or sometime or another. I ask you to trust me sometimes, but make sure I've done the right thing. So you read it for yourself sometime. And in this passage, well, this morning, first of all, I'm going to ask you a question, but I'm going to start by saying this. Christian people need to be on fire for Christ. We need to be on fire for Christ. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean when somebody says, now I've heard that all my life. I've heard people say, man, you know, oh, so-and-so, they are really on fire for the Lord. Have you ever heard that? Sure you have. We've heard people say that all of our life. But what, when you think about it, what does it really mean when somebody is really on fire for the Lord? Does it mean they have acted in some very radical way? Does that mean you're on fire for Christ? Or perhaps does it mean in some way that you act, some way that you talk, some way that you look or something like that? Does that mean that you're really on fire for the Lord? Does it, and if you look at a minister, does it mean if the louder he gets, is he more on fire? If he keeps it kind of calm, is he not on fire? How about if he just tells the truth of God's word? He might be on fire. Can't always judge things by stuff like that. I think the best thing to really say about somebody that is really on fire for the Lord is somebody that has a lot of passion. When you have a lot of passion, and when you have passion, that's when you have a very strong belief and a very strong feeling towards something. So if you have a very strong feeling about serving the Lord, if you have a very strong belief about what you believe in, then you are passionate. And if you are very passionate in life, I think it's safe to say that you're on fire for the Lord. And that's what we need. More than ever, I think, or especially in the day and time that you and I are living in today, we really need some folks that are passionate. We really need some folks that are on fire for the Lord. Now, I want to begin just to get us going and seeing what's happening. This is in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. This is when Nebuchadnezzar is king. They have come in. They have taken the elite out of Israel, and one of those was Daniel, and three of his buddies. I'm not going to go back and read the names that you read when you read in chapter number 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names. When you're reading in the very first of the book of Daniel, that is their given names, actually. But they're given these Babylonian names. As to why, I don't know, but they are. So that's who we're going to talk about to begin with this morning. That's what's going on. They had taken a lot of the elite out of Israel. These were young men who were probably very well educated, very smart, probably come from wealthy families and stuff like that. To be educated in that day, you pretty much had to and everything. So that was the kind of people that are here. That's who has been brought to Babylonia. Which would be modern-day Iraq, if you want to know where you're at, where we're at. And listen as it begins here with this story. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, and the width thereof was 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, like I said, you got to have a beginning point, and this is where we're going to begin with this particular passage and what we're thinking about being on fire for the Lord and how you and I should be on fire. We're going to look at how these were some men that had a great passion to serve God. We're going to look at John the Baptist, and then we're going to look at Timothy real quick, and then we're going to bring it home to what it really means to you and I, how we should be on fire ourselves. Now, when you begin reading this and you see Nebuchadnezzar, he has built this huge, really literally huge, especially for that day, this golden image. Now, if you do the math and if you know what a cubic is, that's the distance from a man's hand, the average man, from your furthest finger to the back of your elbow. That's a cubic. And if you go on and do the math, really, or to just give you a pretty good idea of how massive this statue was, or this image was, that Nebuchadnezzar had put up, It would be the equivalent today of looking at a building that was over 6.5 stories tall. Now, I know today in the world that you and I live in, a 6-story building is really not all that big. It's still pretty big in Cherokee County or Forsyth County, but if you go into a major city, something that's 6 stories tall is really not that impressive. But if you think about in that day and time that they lived in the era then, and to look out and see something that would be about 90 feet tall is how tall it would be, and about 9 feet wide, that was a pretty impressive image that Nebuchadnezzar had erected. And he made a decree with that, a decree that when you hear the king's orchestra, you're to bow down and to worship this image that he has set before all of them. And he lets everybody know. He gives everybody good instruction. He tells them, he names all, I'm not going to read that, you can look at it. He names all of the instruments that's in the king's orchestra. And tells them, when you hear this music being played, that immediately you're to bow down and worship. Bow to this false god and this image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Now, sometimes we think that, well, you don't really hear stuff like this in modern times, but you really do. If you look at anything about North Korea, the Kim dynasty that is there, they have huge statues of going back to grandpa. And those people are required to bow at those monuments that have been made there for that family. So it does still happen even in modern times that you and I live in. But we can also be guilty a lot of times of bowing to a lot of things, really, if we're not careful. And these men are told what's going to happen too if you hear this music and you don't bow down and worship, then we're going to take you, bind you up just as you are, and you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. That's the punishment that you're going to receive. If you fail to do what you've been told to do, this is what's going to happen to you. But you're going to see in these three guys, and there is a lot. You could really spend all morning this morning on just what transpires and happens with these guys. But we're just going to kind of hit the high spots and some of the things that happens to them. These guys, they hear this. They hear the music, just like Nebuchadnezzar said it would be. The king's orchestra starts playing. They hear all of this music, and all of these other people, they begin to bow down and to worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up, except for these three Hebrew boys that are there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not. They would not bow. Why would these men not bow? Because they were passionate about what they believed. They had that strong belief. They were very passionate. They were men that were truly on fire for God. And they literally got put in the fire for being on fire for God. Well, they won't bow, they won't give in because of that passion, because of that zeal, because of the fact that they are committed to what they believe in, and because they are men that are truly on fire for God. And then they're brought. They come and they stand before this king and they give an account for why they will not bow down. And I want you to listen. I'm going to read this because listen to the words of this. And listen to what these men, in their boldness and being men that were of passion and being men that were going to make their stand, listen to what these guys had to say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. For if be so, our God, now listen to this, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? These guys have got a lot of confidence. These guys have definitely got passion. These guys are definitely on fire about what they believe in. But listen what they go on and say, because this is the important thing. What they go on and say. But if not, now listen, this is where it gets tough. This is where it gets very hard for you and I to continue in that passion and to be as strong as we should be, because listen to how these men responded and what they said. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. Do you understand what these guys are saying? They are saying they are all in. I mean, they are totally all in. And what they are saying is, listen, king, it does not matter. We have passion about us. We have commitment about us. We have zeal about us. And no matter what is threatened with us, we're going to trust God. And if it literally means our life, we're going to the fiery furnace. I like to hope that I would have that kind of passion. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm going to do my very best not to die over something foolish. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. But I hope and pray that if it came down to my convictions and my faith, that I would be just like these men, and I would have the passion, and I would be a person that would be on fire enough to say that, look, no matter what it comes along, I will not bow. I will not give in to that. Just not going to do it. That's what those men were saying. Well, look, when you go on in this story, what happens? What happens? Well, they do. They bind them up. They bind them in their clothes, their hats, their coats, everything they've got, and they throw them into the fire. And when they're in the fire, then old Nebuchadnezzar and some of his servants there come along, and they look, and they're looking in this furnace, and there those guys are. They are walking around inside that fire. Listen, when you are on fire for God, you can go through the fire that comes along in life. When you are truly on fire for God, you can go through the fires of life. In other words, I'm saying today that when you face the toughest times, the most difficult times in life, if you have that passion, if you have that commitment, if you're a person that is on fire for the Lord, you can go through the fires. Will you face one like these guys did? I don't know. But we all go through trials of life, every one of us. We all go through the fires sometime or another. And the good thing about it is, just like I said, when you're on fire, you can go through the fire. And that's what these guys did. You can go on and read in this story when they, verse 25 said, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the fourth is likened to the Son of God. What about that? Verse 27 says, when they saw him, it said the fire had no power over them. In other words, it says that their clothes was not burnt. It says that they didn't even smell like fire. They didn't smell like smoke. I mean, my goodness. You ever burn anything outside? You get within a few feet of it, you're going to stink. You're going to smell like fire. These guys didn't. It was just a divine providence of God and His ability and how He took care of them and saw them through all of this. So right there you see three guys that were on fire for God and literally went through a fire because of their passion and because of the fact that they would not give in to culture. And listen today, that's what's happening in our world today. It is so easy for Christian people today to give in to culture. And that's exactly what that was. They were giving in to the culture of that day. How many times do Christian people today give in to culture? Absolutely, just gives in, caves into it, says, it don't matter. Oh, you know, that's okay. It's all right. Look, I'm bound on the inside, but I'm bound on the outside, but I'm standing strong on the inside. That means absolutely nothing. You can say that all you want to, and I guess maybe feel good about it, but there's really nothing good about it because you're really not making a stand. You're really not being like these guys. You're giving in to culture. And that's one thing that worries me a lot in 2019 is that so many people bows to culture, gives into it. And we shouldn't. We should be on fire. We should have a passion about us. Listen to what John said. John 5 and 35 said, and this is basically John's eulogy of John the Baptist. He said, he was a burning and shining light, and we were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. It says that John was a burning and shining light. Let me tell you something. John was a man that was on fire for the Lord, and people saw it and people took note of it. When you're on fire for the Lord, people will see it. It's just like anything. You set something on fire, people will come watch it burn. I guarantee you that. Now, I know that for a fact. When I was a young boy, the courthouse in Cumming caught on fire one night, and the next morning people was standing all around town watching it smolder. 1982, I guess it was, Sunday afternoon, Parsons, when it was in town and coming, caught on fire. You'd have thought it was a 4th of July parade in coming. Church got out in town, well, you couldn't move. Everybody come to watch it burn. You, the same thing is true about a Christian. If you are on fire for God, people will take note of you. People will see it, people will notice. People will see something. Listen, now, let me close. Turn over to Timothy. I want to show you what Paul said in Timothy's 2 Timothy. What Paul said. Chapter number 1. Verse number 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Now, I want to tell you something. If you do a word search on that word stir, that literally what it means is to stir up a fire or kindle up a fire or get a fire back going. And that was the instruction that Paul was giving to this young preacher. He said, Timothy, stir that fire up, get it going in you, and be a Christian that is on fire for the Lord. Well, do you know what really had hampered Timothy a little bit in his ministry? Read it. You got to read all of it, and you got to really open your mind and see what's going on. Timothy had probably gotten discouraged. Remember what Paul tells him in one place? He says, Timothy, despise not thy youth. Evidently, I'm sure it was some good, well-meaning Christian church-going somebody that just decided that, well, Timothy, I don't really know. You're awful young. Do you know who the most discouraging people are sometimes? It's going to hurt a little bit. You and I. I put myself in there. I have never, really and truly, anytime I've ever tried to share my faith with somebody that I knew didn't know anything about Christianity, didn't know anything about church. I've never had them be ugly to me. They might sort of brush you off and not pay attention to you. I can't say the same thing about church people. I wish I could. It's just the truth. And that's what happened to Timothy. There was those people that was there, that it was the church that was giving him so much trouble. See, the ones that ought to have been praying for him and saying, look, there's a little old young preacher out there that's on fire for the Lord. That's having a problem with stuff. Paul looked at him like a son. In fact, he calls him a son. And he said, Timothy, you just stir that up. Get that fire going. Get that fire going inside of you. Stir it up. He said, stir that gift up. For God's not given us a spirit of fear. Evidently, somebody had invoked fear into this young preacher. Evidently, somebody had tried to rob him of his power and of his love. Paul said, these are the things that you got. He said, you stir this up. He said, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he said, God gave you a spirit of power and a spirit of love. And listen, folks, that's what everybody in the church needs to stir up in you. Is a spirit of love towards one another and in the power of God. Love and a sound mind. I'm going to give you my own parable. Well, I don't know if it's a parable. It's my own little illustration. How many of you in here is familiar with a burn ban or a burn permit? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you do. I don't like them. I used to like the day when if you just wanted to pile something up and burn it, you just piled it up and burned it, you know? But now you got to call and get a permit and you got to do all. Well, it's really spilled over into Christianity because you can only burn at certain times of the year. There's a burn ban during the other times. Well, you know what? We have become Christian people that you can only really be on fire for the Lord. We'll get on fire around New Year's because we'll all make a resolution of how we're going to do better. And then it'll come up Holy Week. It's Easter time and man, we're going to really get fired up for the Lord then. Then we're going to put him away for a little while, and then it'll be revival time. That's surely the time that we'd get stirred up and be on fire for the Lord. Well, we will, and then that'll pass, and oh, we're right here at Christmas, and we'll get out baby Jesus for a little while, and then we'll put him up. Because we're not on fire. You know, we've got a burn ban. Think about it, folks. It's a season. It's a time. Certain place, certain time. You know, you can only start it. You got to start that fire at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you got to have it extinguished before dark. Well, what is that? Well, Lord, I can give you Sunday morning, but that's about all I got to offer. I can give you Sunday maybe, but that might be the best I can do. Because the burn ban is really spilled over into Christianity, and you and I have set limits on what we should really be for the Lord. Burn ban, burn permits. There's even a size. You know, it's got to be 6 by 6 by 6. Can't be no bigger than that. I don't know how many of you pulls your tape out when you build a fire, burn your vegetation and stuff. But anyway, that's the size. And if you're here and you work for the fire department, I am not giving you a hard time by no means. I don't want nobody to think that. I really don't. And I know we got a lot, so y'all please still love me after this all over, because I'm not picking on you by no means. I'm saying this. So, you know, it's got to be a certain size. Well, you know what? We kind of contain ourselves too. You know, because if we got to be too big of a Christian, somebody's liable to surely think, oh, they're a fanatic. You know, let me tell you something, folks, about being on fire for the Lord. We need to be a bonfire. That is what you and I need to be in this world, is a bonfire. A light that is burning and shining brightly, that people can see, that this lost world can see, that our brothers and sisters in Christ that have slipped by the wayside, that they could see in you and I that there is a passion, that there is something burning, that there is something that is real about us, and that it would make, you know what? You go build a fire anywhere and you'll draw people to it. I've been camping before in the heat of summer and people have the fire going and people will just congregate around it. If you've ever camped any, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They will. They'll come to it. It'll draw them to it. If you're on fire for the Lord, you can draw people. People will come. People will come to this. Why? Because you've lifted up Him. It's what you've done. How do you become? How are you going to be on fire? Well, first of all, you got to be a Christian. If you're listening today by way of radio, you've never been saved. I pray wherever you are, if you're in your home, bow and to accept the Lord as your Savior. Just ask Him to come into your life. Just trust Him. Just pray and ask Him and He'll do it. And get on fire for the Lord. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. I pray that today would be the time that you would come to the realization that you need something there. That fire is missing in your life. There's nothing burning in your life. Or I pray today if you're here and you are a Christian and the fire is gone out. Well, I don't really like that. I don't think the fire ever totally goes out. Let me say it this way. If you've got down to where you just some coals and just embers glowing a little bit, that's not a bonfire. It's not a bonfire. You need to be on fire. That's what we need today. We need Christian people, you and I. We do. We need to be on fire in this world that we live in today and not give in to culture. Be strong enough. Be on fire enough for God. Be committed enough in what we believe and what we say we believe. And stand strong on it and stand firm and be counted. It's what those three Hebrew boys done. They didn't give in. They did not give in to the culture of that day. John the Baptist did not give in to the culture that when he preached. Timothy did not give in to the culture. None of them gave in. Ronnie, would you get a song? I want to ask everyone, if you would, please stand. Sing this hymn of invitation. Again, we ask you, wherever you are, however you're listening to us today, you can trust the Lord wherever you are. You can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ wherever you are. But if you're here with us this morning while we sing this hymn of invitation, we want to invite you to come forward. And I want to even say this, if you are here today and you just feel the need to come and pray in this altar because you realize that maybe you need to get fired up. Now somebody will say, well, preacher, I don't want to do that. Then I'm just admitting that I'm not on fire. You know what? Most time people look at you and tell whether you're on fire or not. You know? And they know, you know what? No, is somebody going to think bad about you about that? I would hope not. I would sincerely hope not. So while we sing, I pray that you would be obedient to the Lord in whatever you feel led.